Please turn with me to the chapter we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, Romans chapter 15. We shall read again verse 13. Romans 15 at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. An appropriate text at the beginning of a new year, speaking of hope, the hope which belongs to the people of God. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, Gentiles who have been blessed under the gospel. They've come to share in the promises of God. They belong now to the church. And we, many generations later, belonging to the church of Christ, having a union with Christ by faith, we trust that is so with us. We share in the promises. We rejoice in the blessings. And what is written here is for us also, if we belong to the Lord. And we notice that the words of our text are in the form of a prayer, a brief prayer. This is something which the apostle, on his knees before God, is seeking on behalf of these believers. And it is my prayer too. My prayer for those who are Christians, and indeed for those who are not yet Christians, that in this new year, such would come to know the Lord's salvation and be partakers of the hope which is spoken of in this text. I would wish no greater thing for you. Now that is my prayer for you, that you would know the God of hope, and if you are the Lord's, that you would increase in that hope. Well, there are many varieties of hope. You see them in the world. People have hope, but there's only one true hope. One hope that is sure. The hope of the Christian is a confident one. He has from God an expected end. The Lord has promised good to Israel. To each and every one of his people, the Lord gives hope. In Christ Jesus, though we are what we are, sinners by nature and by practice, we may be sure, through faith in him, of everlasting good. The Lord will be with us in this life. He will provide for all our needs. He will guide us. He will keep our feet. And he will bring us at length into the enjoyment of that inheritance above. God's people are his sons and daughters. He's adopted them into his family. They are dearly beloved by him. And he gives to them the very best. Do you have such a hope here today? And is that hope one you enter a new year with? You do not know what is ahead for you this year. No one knows that. But you have a hope. And your hope is that God will be working all things together for your good. That God will be gracious to you. He will build up your soul. You will indeed enjoy forgiveness of sin. And the Lord will deliver you out of all those troubles which may be before you in the days ahead. Really, there is no other way to be living in such a world as this. So many uncertainties, so many dangers. But if the Lord is holding us by our right hand, we know that it is well with us. The Lord sees to that in His providence and in His grace. Well, we shall consider for a little while the God of hope. And firstly, to note this, the object of our hope, as the text begins, now the God of hope. It ought to be obvious to any mortal man, that the only hope he can have, the only lasting hope, is bound to be in God, his Maker. There really is no hope to be had anywhere else. You cannot have hope, real hope, in anything which belongs merely to time. Many do put their hope in the things of this world, in their own abilities, in the abilities of others, in the promises that men make, the leaders of the nation, the things that they promise. Let's hope in them. Or we cannot hope in such, especially in those who do not fear the Lord, do not have a regard for His counsel, and have no desire to honor Him and glorify Him. They are under God's judgment. Indeed, as a nation, that is our fear, that the Lord has a controversy with us because we have so departed from His ways. No, we do not put our trust in man, because man always disappoints. Man is a sinful creature. We sang those verses in Psalm 118. Some say this is very much the center of the Bible. And how fitting, if that is so, that these verses in Psalm 118 are found at the very center of God's revelation. And we should take note of these verses. Many would do well to consider them at the beginning of a new year. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And he goes on. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So, whoever it is, however exalted they are, however honored they may be by their fellow men, they are not worthy of our ultimate trust. We cannot rely upon man at all. Our hope must be in God. He is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And you remember the word of the Lord to His church and people through the prophet Malachi. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We're the sons of Jacob. Even as the Lord's people, that's what we are. We have the remnant of sin in us, the old nature. We're an unworthy people, a disobedient people. But the Lord has favored his own. He has been gracious to them, and he will be gracious to them. He will be merciful to our unrighteousness. He will not consume them. He will not destroy them, though their sin deserves that. Why is that? Because of their substitute. Because of Christ their Redeemer. Because of the glorious and mighty Lord who humbled himself, who went to the cross, who died for the sins of his people, ransoms them, brings them to God, maintains them in faith and grace. This is our security. And this is why we have hope. God is unchanging, and God is unchangeable. The God of glory. Is he your hope? The mighty God. Unchangeable in his being, and in all his attributes. In his will and in his purpose, in his mercy and in his grace. How often in Scripture the Lord's people refer to their God as their rock. And do we have that view of the Lord? Are we able to say here today, he is the rock of my salvation, and I will trust in him, I will rely upon him. There is no other, but God is sufficient, and he ever will be. He's the object of our hope. That there is a church in this world is all of God. It's not that God's people are any better than others. They do not make themselves to differ. They are just sinners saved by grace. They're weak in themselves. They're wayward. Do we not know it? Have we not seen it in our own lives in the year that is past? But we have a rock. And joined to this rock, we find a strength that is not our own. And we're guided by the Lord through his word. And we're kept by his power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Is God your hope? Not in a vague way, as so many express it, but in the way of knowing him, having met with him, the Lord having had dealings with you, spoken to your soul, renewed your spirit, revealed his love in your heart. So you're walking hand in hand with God. That's how you're beginning this new year. It's the only way to be. Walking by faith, not by sight. But faith in this great, glorious God. The God of the covenant. Who will never leave nor forsake his people. They will dwell with him. He will have them with himself in glory. The object of our hope. Then we have the ground of our hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. There's mention here of joy and peace. These are blessings that belong to the Christian. Spiritual joy, spiritual peace. And these blessings are enjoyed in believing. Through faith. Faith in God. Is faith the foundation of our hope? Not ultimately. No. It's not so much faith, but the one in whom we believe, the one upon whom we rely. We believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. But the gospel calls us to believe, to trust, especially in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, in his life, and in his death. The gospel calls us to that. By the Spirit of God, we're enabled so to believe, so to trust. Why in Christ? Well, because of his accomplishment as the mediator. Because of what he did in our nature. His obedience. Glorifying God, keeping the law perfectly, and his obedience unto death. And to think of the death of Christ, or we should be doing that continually. The death of Christ as the substitute of his people. The death we deserve to die. Punishment for sin, but not borne by us, but by the Lord. This is the wonder of what God has done in Christ. See how he loves his people, that he gave himself to the uttermost on that cross, poured out his soul unto death. Cannot enter into his experience. We get glimpses of it, glimmers of an understanding of it in the scriptures, especially perhaps in some of the Psalms. But we certainly believe it, for God has declared it. And this is our hope, that Christ died for my sins. Christ, having died for my sins, has brought me to himself. He's enabled me in all my sinfulness, helplessness, hopelessness, to trust in him and in Christ Jesus. I have come to a living hope. Joy and peace in believing. These things flow then from faith. Joy in the Lord. Joy over the forgiveness of sin. You see, sin is a burden. Many don't feel it. The burden is there. The guilt is real. But they don't feel it. And they convince themselves that sin is a light thing, if they believe in such a thing as sin at all. Well, you must believe in sin, because the Word of God speaks of it time and time again, warns us concerning our sin. When the Lord has dealings with you, you feel the weight of your sin, your guilt. Is brought home to you, and it becomes an impossible burden. It's always with you, but you cannot stand under it. And the Lord is convincing you of sin that he might drive you out of every refuge that you make for yourself, refuges of lies, and bring you to the one true refuge. And that is Christ and him crucified. It's a mercy when you feel your sin and when you have a fear of the consequences of your sin. And when the Lord brings you to Jesus Christ, when the Spirit draws you, persuades you, enables you to trust in him, oh, you know the joy of the forgiveness of your sin. There's no joy like it. It's a joy it doesn't make us to be exalted in ourselves. It's a joy that makes us to exalt the Lord Jesus, to give the glory to him, to praise his name. Because what we have, a full and free pardon, is from the Lord. And at such cost to Jesus Christ, but demonstrating his love to his people. And peace. In believing in Christ, you have peace. Peace with God. That's a blessed peace. Now your soul may in a sense be at peace, because you shut out the thoughts of eternity and meeting with God and giving in your account, and you occupy your heart and mind with the things of this world, the things of this life. And there's a certain peace you have, but it's not always there, is it? You do have your thoughts. You do have your concerns. You wonder what is at the end of this life. You're bound to wonder at that. Well, you have the Bible in front of you and the gospel preached to you to tell you that at the end of a Christless life is eternal ruin. But in coming to Christ, there is peace with God. And the Lord looking favorably upon the believing soul and blessing that soul. And not only peace with God, but the peace of God guarding your heart. That's the wonder of the Christian in such a world as this, and in the midst of all the tribulations that the Christian has in this world. He has peace. God is with him. Christ is with him. The Spirit is in his heart. The Lord knows the way that his people take. And the Lord directs their way. May have its twists and turns, its ups and downs. But it's a sure way. And it's leading them from this poor world to a far better world. Joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. And the sense appears to be that through faith in Christ we have joy and peace, and these things lead us to a good hope, a sure hope. That's the way the Lord works. By his grace in the soul, working faith, working repentance, giving joy and peace, giving hope. You cannot have one of these things without having all of them. although they differ in degree. Because the prayer is that the Lord, the God of hope, would fill these Christians with joy and peace in believing that their hope may abound. Faith is the key thing. The stronger your faith, the more exercised your faith, the firmer your trust in the Lord, having a clear view of what the Lord has wrought for your soul, the greater will be your joy and peace and hope. And it will be good for us at the beginning of a new year if this were our resolve, by God's grace, that we might be trusting Him more than we have done. Or we say we trust Him, and we believe we do, but all too often we're turning here and we're turning there, we're looking to other resources, rather than taking matters to the Lord. And when the Lord calls us to some duty, we'll be doing it in our own strength and after our own wisdom, rather than depending upon the Lord. Faith will always lead to prayer. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you will be a praying man, a praying woman. It's the great activity of faith. Conscious dependence upon the Lord, expressed in bringing all our needs to Him. And faith will be strengthened through prayer. God will give that increase. And that will be a blessing for ourselves, our families, our congregation, our church, our nation, that the Lord's people are more dependent upon the Lord and they're exercising their faith in God. Thirdly, and finally, we have the increase of our hope. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abounding is a word that describes a fullness. To abound is to have much. It is to be overflowing with something. And can any of us say that our hope is like that? To our shame, we have to say that all too often our hope seems to be a small thing, a weak thing. And perhaps for some here today, we have nothing of it at all. Hope in God. Hope of a blessed eternity? Do you have anything of it? Well, here's the apostle. His prayer for these believers is that they may abound in hope. That the Lord would fill them with joy and peace through faith in Christ, as their hearts are fixed upon the Savior, as they're considering Christ Jesus, as they're thinking upon Him and all that He is. Remember, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is faithful. Faithful to His people. Hope maketh not ashamed, says Paul. The hope of a Christian. You put your trust in the Lord, you hope in the Lord, you will never be put to shame. The world may scoff, the world may mock, the world may deride you, it may wrong you in many ways. But you will never be put to shame, because in the end, God will vindicate you. The Lord will set you on high. And the world, the unbelieving, ungodly world, it will be put to shame. That's a test for us. With regard to the Word of God, many things we believe as Christians, the world despises. Such is the state of things that the Lord's people and ministers of the gospel may be targets because of what they say according to the scriptures. When it comes to the exclusivity of the gospel of Christ, the only Savior, declaring that other religions are false ways. When it comes to upholding the moral law of God and declaring that marriage, true marriage, is between one man, one woman for life, and that other relationships are immoral, sinful, unnatural. When we say that God has made man male and female, there's no changing from one to the other or confusing the difference. We'll be accused today by some of hatred, hate speech. When we say these things in love, firstly our love to God and His Word, but then in love to men. Because it is no blessing if the church and God's people approve what people will do in their blind unbelief. People need to hear the truth. Otherwise they are in peril. Their souls are in great danger. They're rebelling against God. And the Lord will indeed judge them for their rebellion. We have to trust in God. We have to maintain our confidence in His Word. And we must hope, and we do hope, that the Lord in His time will come to the aid of His church. And that the Lord will restrain the ungodly and those who come against the church. And that the Lord will open the eyes of the people in general. That they will recognize that they have been misled. And that they have been foolish indeed to themselves reject the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ. These are dark days, perilous times. But we're not without hope. The hope remains, the hope is sure. And to abound in hope. In the God who never changes. The Savior who is faithful. The Spirit who dwells with God's people. We must make use of the means of grace. Do you read your Bible? Do you have a plan for reading your Bible? It's good to be methodical and disciplined about it. You see, the whole Word of God is true, it's faithful. From beginning to end, it's profitable, all of it, for us. We can only be acquainted with God if we are acquainted with His Word. We can only have faith in God if we're searching the Scriptures. And we can only have hope in God if our thoughts are taken up with Him, and if our lives are devoted to Him. God reveals his blessings to those who have a sincere heart, to those who are close to him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. It's not to say that these things are out of reach, that God will only bless those who have a perfect faith. Not at all. But it is to make the difference between that which is genuine and heartfelt, that which is a mere form of religion. And there's too much of that. No use to have just the form. You need the reality. And the reality is life-changing. If grace would enter your soul this year, if you do not have anything of God's grace as yet, what a change there would be in your life. All for the better. To the glory of God and for the benefit of his church. You would have faith in Jesus Christ. You would have joy in the Lord. It would be your strength. You would have peace. That would be a great comfort to you. And you would have this hope. Can you say, here today, looking ahead, that you have a certain hope, an assured hope, that whatever befalls you in time to come, you know where your soul is going? Perhaps you cannot say that. Only the Lord's people can. And you need dealings with the Lord. The Lord must have dealings with you. Read your Bible. Humble yourself before God and pray to him that he would make himself known to you in a clear, unmistakable way. Pray above all that you may be brought to Christ crucified, and to know the power of his atoning blood to take away your sin. And that the Lord's people would flourish in hope. You see, that is a great witness. It's a blessing to ourselves, it's a blessing to others. When you have a bright Christian, one that's able to speak of what the Lord has done for their soul. There's nothing for the world in a Christian who's a dull, lifeless, joyless, always mourning. There's a time for that. But joy, you see it in this chapter. You see it throughout the Word of God. And hope. May the Lord grant us stronger hope as an anchor. May the Lord keep us in this new year. And may he bless his cause amongst us. May he bless his word. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt indeed visit us by thy Spirit, blessing thy word to us, enabling us to see our need before thee, to confess our lack in every grace, even our faith, and that thou wouldst strengthen us inwardly and enable us to go on in fear of God the Lord, but also in hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Bless us then, and pardon our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.